News Talk 1270. This is Glenn, who's on the phone.
Glenn, this is Cynthia Lummis calling from Washington.
And you have that wonderful echo behind you that makes you sound very godlike.
Yeah. Well, let me try and change
That's fine. I thought I was talking to Obama for a second there. I really... we hardly ever get a chance to talk because you've been so busy. And I'm glad that so many callers called in that one day to tell you what a great job you're doing. I just want to tell you, I appreciate that again. I know what you're up against out there. I know you have limited time, so let's watch the clock here. But what is it that you're bringing to the table today? It has something to do with uranium?
We have filed a bill this week that would prevent the federal government from dumping uranium on the market and drive down the price.
Now, why would they be dumping uranium on the market?
It is completely contrary to an arrangement that they had made verbally with producers of uranium and the industry that uses uranium in prior administrations. So this caught them off guard. It caught me off guard. So we had an excellent effort at coordination between the uranium producers and the utilities and electrical generators. And so those communities came together. We worked with them, and we're able to get a bill filed that hopefully will prevent that. We do believe it will prevent the federal government from taking such ludicrous action. It's not in the federal government's best interest to take their supply and depress its value by putting it all on the market at the same time. And it's even more harmful, of course, to current producers.
Now, in most cases like this, when people sit around and try to rationalize why something this idiotic is being done, I turn and say, I don't care. It's bad. Let's just stop it. Who cares why? But in this case, I actually am very curious. Why are they doing this?
I wish I could answer that.
Okay.
I suspect that this is a case of someone in the administration wanting to quickly produce some dollars
right.
that would help offset these dramatic and absurd spending programs
right.
and didn't think it through.
Oh, so you mean that this administration is not exactly economically savvy?
That would seem to be the case.
You're actually suggesting that.
I actually am suggesting
that.
Wow.
Let's go out on a limb here. Okay, so now you wouldn't have asked to come on this program if you didn't, I think, have a request to the people out here. I mean, is there anything we can do to help out?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to be in Gillette this weekend at the Pink Elephant to discuss my candidacy
yes.
for re-election.
And I will be there, by the way.
Oh, great.
So we'll finally get a chance to meet you.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to that. With health care,
right.
with this financial reform, with this massive federal government takeover of every component of our lives,
right.
we are in a completely different political environment right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that people all over the country have come to see that when it comes to electing members of Congress, it just doesn't make sense right now to elect Democrats because
right.
as long as they're going to vote for Nancy Pelosi,
yeah.
Speaker of the House, you're going to get the Charlie Rangels. You're going to get the Ed Markeys and Henry Waxman.
Right.
These are people who have no comprehension of what it's like to earn a living in Wyoming, to raise a family in mm-hmm. Wyoming, what our economy is about, and what our lives are about.
Right.
It is, sadly, a urban versus rural scenario here, and it's robbing from our children and grandchildren to make our lives better and their lives more risky. It's so stunning. It goes back to the original question you asked. How could they be so economically inept?
Right. Now, in part, I want to say naive, but then sometimes I wonder if they're actually doing this on purpose. I mean, I see a little bit of both going on here, but that gets into a whole another conversation. Let me ask you something here on a side note, because every time I get a chance to talk to Senator Barrasso, we get onto all sorts of different subjects, but I bet you run into him from time to time?
I do.
Okay. Here's a pet peeve of mine. All right. He's working on a bill right now that has to do with carbon sequestration. I would like to know, why are we taking money and pumping it down a hole? Let's say you were to build right now a greenhouse in your backyard. Did you know that you could buy a carbon emitter to make your tomatoes bigger? Yeah, I mean, it's everything on Earth that's alive is made out of CO2, and yet it's being called a pollutant. And even if you did sequester all the carbon, it would have no impact whatsoever on the climate. And yet we're about to spend billions of dollars to take CO2 and pump it down a hole.
Well, and here's another example. I talked to a member of Congress yesterday from Texas, where the EPA is requiring at a refinery in Texas a NOx technology that causes them to emit more carbon.
Yeah.
So in order to decrease NOx emissions, mm-hmm. they're increasing carbon emissions and doing so in compliance with the EPA on one hand and in violation of EPA regs on the other.
Right.
It is Washington run amok, and we've got to get Washington under control.
Well, I think the only real way, and I'm glad you're running again, is we just got to get rid of these people. Now, I really love Senator Enzi. He's a good man. But a lot of times he likes to reach across the aisle, and I'm thinking, if you were talking about reasonable people, I think you could. But I don't think you guys are dealing with reasonable people right now. I think you're dealing with nutcases.
Well, and I'm glad you said right now, because there have been years when Senator Enzi has been able to
yes.
work across the aisle with Democrats
yep.
and accomplish great things for our
absolutely.
Country.
Absolutely. He's a good man, and it's kind of hard not to do business with him, because, I mean, he really does know how to sit down and have a reasonable discussion. But he's not currently dealing with reasonable people.
That's true. In fact, I don't know if you saw the Blair House Summit.
Yeah, the Blair Witch Project is what I call it, yeah.
When that was over and they stood up to leave, there was one person that President Obama wanted to seek out,
yep.
and it was Mike Enzi.
Mm-hmm.
And when President Obama literally ran after Mike Enzi mm-hmm. to talk to him at the end of the Blair House discussion, Mike Enzi gave President Obama a piece of his mind. And I don't know what they were saying, but in watching that, it was very clear that President Obama cared what Mike Enzi thought,
yep.
and that Mike Enzi felt strongly that bipartisanship was absent,
yep.
because he really came on strongly and emphatically having a discussion with the president. That it was obviously just between the two of them, but
right.
it was very clear from the body language that the president cared what Mike Enzi thought, and Mike Enzi was not happy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of hard to make that man not happy, you know?
It is. He is such a statesman when it
yeah.
comes to the manner in which he deals with folks. So that tells me a couple things. We have two outstanding U.S. senators, one that has a reputation in Washington for working across the aisle
mm-hmm.
and for being a very diligent member of Congress, that, of course, being our senior U.S. Senator Mike Enzi. And with regard to John Barrasso, there you have one of the two physicians in the
mm-hmm.
in the Republican caucus in the U.S. Senate who has very clearly articulated the effects of this absurd health care bill on medical costs and, worse yet, accessibility to physicians.
Right.
And so I'm so proud to be serving with our two U.S. senators. They're fabulous. Each brings a different skill set, and they've just been wonderful to work with.
Now, as advised, I know by your press secretary that we got limited time with you because you got a lot going on. So I want to ask one more question here of you. We have a bill that you're working on, EPA and water.
Yes, I am extremely concerned about a bill that was filed by Mr. Oberstar that will allow the EPA to regulate waters of the United States, all over the United States, by removing the term navigable
yeah.
from the equation.
Right.
So that would give federal tentacles a reach into Wyoming water law. Of almost all of our natural resources, this is the one I don't want the federal government involved in.
Well, for that matter, I mean, a rancher could go ahead and, let's say, make a small dam out there just to capture some water for his cattle, and the EPA has control over it.
And I want to point out, do it perfectly legally and within the regulatory auspices of the state of Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
So for to allow the federal government this oversight is contrary to, of course, our state constitution, contrary to our demonstrated skill at regulating water appropriately at the state level, and absolutely contrary to the needs of this country to get the federal government out of our lives. This is another huge, huge encroachment into our everyday lives.
This is as big, or if not bigger, I think actually bigger, than those massive land grabs that the federal government has been making.
I'm absolutely mortified that they would take this on, because this could include municipal water projects. It could include groundwater supplies as pumped from our formations into neighborhoods that aren't served by municipal supplies. It could get into ranching, farming.
If you have a private home with your own backyard well?
Industrial use, all of those.
Yeah.
All, as long as you've pumped it to the surface, all of a sudden, the federal government's got his eyes on got its eyes on our water. This is really significant. So we will be devoting a tremendous amount of our time and attention to defeating this bill.
Okay. Well, I again appreciate all the work you're doing. I look forward to meeting you on Saturday.
I will as well. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.